Okay. Just a few here today. Very few. And the reasons others aren't here is their business. However, that's fine. The Lord knows. Shall we just commence our services? Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Shall we stand as we sing? Jesus, my Lord, you'll love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. This is true. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost, sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now let's just sing the chorus again. Now I belong to Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Like that personally, absolutely, for each other and for everyone. We'll sing 278, Jesus, how sweet the name. Then I'll ask Brother Tim if he'd like to open in prayer. Thank you, Brother. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus.
Precious Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, because we are yours, Lord, and you are ours, Lord Jesus, this morning, and we just give you praise and glory for your,
Amen.
Lord, precious blood, Lord, that has cleansed us, Lord, and saved us from our wretched selves, Lord, and our sin, Lord, and we just come humbly before you this morning, Lord, and lift your name up, Lord, and Lord, with an open heart to receive from you this morning, and we just pray a blessing, Lord, on those that are still coming, Lord, and those that couldn't be here, Lord. And just we do really pray a blessing upon them, Lord, that your sweet presence would be with them as well, Lord, and those that might be listening in as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Brother Tim. Let's sing 289, I Thirsted in a Barren Land. We sure did. But the Lord saved us. I thirsted in a barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound.
Springs of living water,
We can enjoy fresh, cool water here on earth, which the Lord supplied. But when we get there, it's going to be sweeter still. Let us sing 454, Only to Be What He Wants Me to Be. Good to see the huge family here. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you, number 540.
Consider that
Do I really appreciate you, Lord? When we are in need, we want them beside us. But when we're happy and things are going right, do we want them beside us? As we sing this, sing it with understanding. And just let your thoughts be known to Him. And it's Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. That's my will anyway. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, Lord. Heavenly Father. Just thinking that if we make a mistake or slip up, even we didn't mean to, the Holy Spirit will still come to us, and He's still a comfort. And it's good to know that He knows us inside out, past, present, and future. And He is a comfort to us. Let's sing another one, 536, the voice of my beloved, behold, He quickly comes. Sweeping over the mountains and over the hills, He runs. The voice of my beloved, behold, He quickly comes. Oh, mountains or the hills, He runs. Long God's chosen. He most certainly has. You may be seated. I haven't been advised of any items, if anyone has any. Okay. You'd like one? Good. Would you like to do the microphone, Bill? Thank you. And our Sister Shirley, and Sister Mel. We'll sing. Just while they're getting ready, is there any prayer requests that anybody would like that we don't have on our prayer list? Bill?
Jen's mum.
All right.
And also the lady I get at the mobile people station.
Okay.
Jen, she's...
Sorry? Okay. Any other prayer requests?
Sister Helen Lee. Not Helen Lee, Helen Young.
Yes, I got it up here.
Love him like I do. just wait one moment, I'll introduce my Lord to you. Just wait one moment, I'll introduce my Lord to you.
Wait on, she says. I thought we were having another item there.
Got hooked up in the chair. Okay, that's good.
Very nice, young ladies. Very nice. I appreciate that. We had no prayer requests. So I was going to. Oh, I just can't help but notice, if you haven't already noticed, the caps on our steps are completed. That doesn't look nice. No, no. Okay. Ah, well, sounds like we need a mat on here as well, because we're standing over on the baptistry. I was going to ask Brother Bill if he would like to pray for these, but I'll just read out what I have. And one is, please pray for Sister Helen Younger in England. She lost her husband. He's gone to be with the Lord. And she certainly loves the Lord. For strength and comfort, we're asking for her. Sister Helen Younger, just remember Jan Hughes' mother, who's not well. And just pray for the lady in the Celtic station that Bill met this morning. There's one here. Let us hold up before the Lord the special meetings amongst the Niuean and Tongan fellowships in Auckland on the weekend of the 25th of February. Travelling mercies for all that travel. Thank you. Having had this beforehand, I thought about the Tongan people too. We need to remember them and what they went through with the devastation with that cyclone that covered them. Just remember Sister Angie, she has needs before the Lord. Let us lift up Israel before the Lord to keep them and anoint them in all their decision making and to encourage them, regardless of the enemies. The Bible says, they that bless Israel will be blessed. I believe that. We thank our God for the many answered prayers that He has for many and all. There's also unspoken prayer requests, those that want to bring that before the Lord unspoken. I have one myself, and you can indicate by a raised hand if that's what you wish to do, or just consider it in your heart before the Lord. He sees everything, and there are many unspoken prayer requests in amongst the body of Christ, and we don't forget those lovely brethren who listen in on the internet and CDs from this service and others. May the Lord bless them. They may be a long way from us, but they're not a long way from us. God is the one that cements us together, and the Holy Spirit will uplift them as He does for us. Thank you, Brother Bill, if you would like to come at this point. Lord bless you.
Well, anyone got any answered prayers? I just want to share a couple of little testimonies. But one was last week we went up to this wonderful wedding in Kaikohe. Jan and the girl, two of the girls had gone up earlier and were staying with Israel in Auckland. And we were flying to Auckland and then on to Whangarei. And Steve Main was supposed to pick us up. And when we got to Whangarei, when we got to Auckland, our flight was cancelled because of the weather. But fortunately, Israel had to work until 6, and Jan had to stay in Auckland until he finished. And so we just rang her up from the airport, and she came to pick us up, and we got to the up north. And then on the way back, it looked like it wasn't going to be, we'd be able to get back to Gisborne. You know, lots of flights were cancelled. We got to Whangarei Airport, flew to Auckland. All the other flights before ours had all been cancelled, got to Auckland, and there were only two places in the whole of New Zealand that flights from Auckland were going to. One was Whanganui, and the other one was Gisborne. Isn't that amazing? That's so good. Anyone else got a little testimony or answered prayer? Okay, we'll pray then. I just want to pray for the lady at the petrol station this morning. She was a really nice lady. She just had a nice way about her. And anyway, she said, oh, what are your plans for the day? And I said, well, we're going to Raglan Roast to have coffee with our family, our children and our dad and my dad, and then we're going to church, and then we're going back home to clean up the B&B. And anyway, she said, oh, what church do you go to? And I said, oh, what church do you belong to? And I said, well, we go to Gisborne Christian Fellowship. And she asked where that was. And I said, well, we actually don't belong to a church. We just belong to Jesus Christ. And she said, amen. And anyway, she said, how did she put it, Grace? Did I tell you? I'll take all the prayers you can give me. So right there, and there was someone behind me, I just said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee, lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and grant thee peace, or something like that. That's what I prayed anyway. And it was just a real blessing, just a little godly encounter, and just to be available. Don't worry about what everyone else around us is doing, and don't say, oh, I'll pray for you. Seize the day and pray with them right there and then. Anyway, that's Jan Chesnut.
Was she a customer or a
partner? No, she was behind the counter.
Good.
Amen. Yeah, Jan Chesnut, without a T in the middle, and two T's at the end. So the T from the middle was taken to the end. Chesnut. Anyway, praise the Lord. And if you go there, you might just like to, yeah, talk to her anyway. So I just had a scripture about that. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. So, Lord, we just want to come before you now, Lord, and Lord, we do thank you for answered prayer, and we thank you for just the encouragement you are to us, Lord. Truly, like just as we were singing, Lord, that our sisters were singing, Lord, let me introduce, and just the help that you are, Lord, to us. Very present help in times of trouble, Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you and worship you this morning, Lord, because we know we're not alone. It says, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, Lord, that you're always with us. And we can just cry out to you in our time of need, Lord, and you're right there for us at all times. Even thank you for the good times, and even thank you for the trials, Lord. So we just want to lift up Sister Helen Younger, Lord. Just, Lord, truly you have said that you will be a husband to the widow, Lord. And we just pray that you'd come and manifest that, Lord, and just show yourself strong in Helen Younger's life. I know particularly for a woman, just not to have her man beside her any helping make decisions, and just, you know, maybe for the part that he played in their marriage, that just not being there anymore, but knowing that you truly, Lord, will fill the gap. And Lord, as Howard goes up to Auckland next weekend, and Brother Morris is going to be there, and Niuean people and Tongan people gathering together, Lord, we just pray, just your blessing upon those meetings, and that you would draw the people's hearts closer to yourself, that it won't be just, just not in the head or in the mouth, but actually deep down in the heart, Lord, that experience of knowing God. And even just remember those people in Tonga and in other parts of the Pacific, Lord, who are reeling after that cyclone, Lord. Lord, that they would just trust in you and lean on you, Lord. Lord, pray for Sister Angie, Lord, just for the needs that she has, Lord. Just bring those before the Lord. And for Israel, Lord Jesus, we just want to bless Israel this morning, Lord, the nation of Israel. We want to bless them, Lord, and just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And no matter what gets raised up against them, Lord, we know that you are for them, Lord. And if you are for them, who can be against them? It doesn't matter. Thousands could be against them. But if you've got the Lord on your side, you've got everything. So, Lord, we thank you just for your continued protection of Israel, Lord, and your mighty hand upon them. And we want to just remember Jan's mum, Lord, Nola, we just thank you for her, Lord, and just know that she's, just needs bodily strength, Lord, at this time. Just strengthen her, Lord, that her health might prosper, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just for the unspoken prayer requests amongst us today, Lord, and the people on the way on the internet, Lord, or whoever might be listening in whatever way they listen, Lord, for the needs that they have, Lord. Lord, just grant them, we pray, in your own perfect timing, Lord Jesus. And just to know that all matters are in your hands, Lord Jesus, and that we can put our trust and hope in you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Appreciate that. For our notices, we've got lunch as usual. And we're going to have Brother Taz preaching this afternoon, as usual. Well, it's good to have him back, and he'll be here this afternoon to preach. And in that service, we'll also have our communion service, which we have regular. So let us just sing a song or two more. 705, You Have Longed for Sweet Peace. Shall we stand as we sing that?
Amen.
lovely words in at him. It has about three types of tunes you can go with it as we were practicing them all. Okay. Well, I can't sing it very well either, but anyway, the Lord received it as great words.
Amen.
And we enjoyed it anyway. Let's sing one we do know, 613. There's a light in the window and a table spread in splendor. Then Brother Howard will come. There's a light in the window, table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see the crystal river. I must be here forever. I've never been homesick before. I see the bright lights shine. It's just about
praise the Lord. Am I on the air? Oh, yeah. Wow. Getting hot. Try playing the piano sometime. You think it's easy? There we go. It really hot. Just the movement, I suppose, when it's hot. Who enjoyed the song Sister Mill and them sang? What was it called? Introduce you to this Lord of mine. Who taught it to us? It was taught right here behind this pulpit. Who? Ernest Fulcher. Yep. Brother Ernest Fulcher took one of our meetings, conventions many years ago. He had his guitar. He could really sing. He had a real style. And that was one of them he taught us. Praise the Lord. So we just thank God for that. I won't be here next weekend, nor will my wife. We're going to Auckland. Brother Morris has invited us up there to take some meetings with two churches combining, so could be a good opportunity. Chris Lugaluga is actually going to Australia. We're going on the Monday, he's going on the Tuesday, he's going to live in Australia. Did you know that, Brother Bill? And so it's a good thing we are introduced to these people. The pastor of the Tongan group, well, I'm not sure it's Tongan or Niue because he speaks both languages. There's a brother in Niue whom I met last year. His name's Brother Nathan. Nathan Tonga. Same name as his country. It's his brother in Auckland that is the pastor. So he's been on the phone and says, you've got to have Brother Howard to preach there. So they're really happy about that. And I just pray that something good will come out of it all. So just keep those before the Lord. I'd appreciate that, really. That'd be really good. And this morning we are on the fourth and last session of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. does everybody know what the titles were?
Yep.
You do. You've been a student. Yes. Well, I'll save you squeezing it out of you. First one was, why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Very important question. And the next one was, excuse me. Oh, boy. Thank you. How do we prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is very important? And last week was, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? There's a difference between preparing and how do we receive it. And the last one is, how do we know we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Very important question. And as people said to me, they're sorry they're not here, but they're going to listen online because I'd love to have heard this last one. And, you know, for me, brother and sister, I just say this reverently as I know how to say it. These are very important subjects. I said to my wife, hopping in the car, coming to church, I said, I actually believe that the coming of the Lord is a lot closer than we understand. It's going to happen like this. It'll be all over. And people will say, what's going on? Jesus said, be therefore ready. For an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We won't have time to prepare. We've got to be in ready mode. And he says that many times. Be therefore ready. Be there. Look it up. Be therefore ready. So I just pray that God will help us to be ready. And I just know it's so important. It's really preached about these days. Signs of the times. And people are going to hold people accountable. Why didn't you tell us? They'll hold them accountable on that day. Why didn't you tell us? Well, I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to tell you, and I want to tell everyone I meet. It's the most important subject in our whole repertoire, if we could say. So this morning I'd like for us to stand and read from Romans chapter 8, verse 14, two verses. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's no fear in them. It's faith. Trust. But to have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means Father, Father. Now listen to this verse 16. How do we know we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit, witnesses to us, that we are the children of God. People say, how do I know? Do I have a shake? Or do I speak in tongues? Or do I see a sign? Or do I see a light or something? How do you know? The Spirit of God will bear witness with you that you are a child of God. Now, we'll expand on that a little as we go along. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We just thank you for this lovely day, Lord. Maybe a bit hot, but we're so thankful it's not cold. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us and speak to us through your word. I pray you'll quicken it to every heart. For truly, it is an important subject. Your prophet, Brother Branham, said, Lord, it was the most important message he ever preached outside of the seven seals. He said that the token is so important. And the token we know today, as he's taught us, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, may you just come and quicken it to us. May our hearts be in the right place to receive of you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. And this would be number one question asked by believers today. And I do believe they are believers. They ask, how do we know we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And it's important to them. And it is important that we do know that He is living in us, abiding and dwelling in us. And though we are not speaking of some anointing or some sensation, although they may accompany these things, they do accompany these experiences, this is not what we're speaking about. Some people say, maybe if I shake a bit, or maybe if I mutter something. Now, those things are perfectly in order if it's of God, but what I'm saying is we're talking about the real goods, the real Holy Spirit to be living in you. And it's a true experience that we're speaking of. We're speaking about the true experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we said, the Bible says we will know. The subject is, how do we know? The Bible says we will know, not with our minds of reasoning, but with our hearts, that Jesus Christ is living in us. We'll know that. We'll know that. Praise the Lord. In John 14, verse 18, let us turn to that. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Jesus said. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, I want you to notice something. There is a day. There's an actual day on the calendar where this happens. At that day, you shall know. Not maybe wonder. You shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, Jesus said, and I in you. There is a day where you'll know, he said, you shall know that I am in you. Isn't that wonderful? So we're not walking this walk and wondering and hoping, and can it be? Maybe it was not. No, you will know. So the Holy Ghost-filled believer knows that Jesus Christ is their Father. And it says here in Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, isn't that wonderful? There's just so much I could say on that verse. Because you are sons. You know, when you were a son, before the foundation of the world. And because you were a son, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Ghost, into your hearts. Why? Because you are a son of God, and he's going to send his Spirit to you. Crying, Abba, Father, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, God's going to come to his children. Not one of his children will be missing this experience. God will make sure you'll get it. It's nothing to do with you jumping around and, you know, pressing the matter. He will come to you. You've got a hunger for it. That is true. We spoke about that earlier. So the Holy Ghost baptism gives you a sense of sonship. That's really great, you know, to know that he is my Father and I am his Son. Well, you are his daughter. Makes you feel you belong to the Father. We're not just going along with God. We're a part of God. He's our Father. We are his children. We are part of the family. It's wonderful. This is a relationship. If you lack that, it can be yours, brother and sister. Where you know you are. Not because you go to church every Sunday, or because you pay your tithes or read your Bible every for 3 hours a day or something. It's not that. It's because you know You belong to him. Thank you, Lord. An assurance that he is your father. This is very important identification. You've got to have an ID. People say, where's my identity? Oh, my identity. You hear it drives me crazy. People say, oh, I want to know my identity. Now, there's probably some truth to it and all that. But our best identity is to be with God. Amen. To know that he is our father and we are his son or his daughter. And naturally, you know who your father is. You do. You know who your father is. I can't talk you out of that. If I started to talk to Grace and said, Grace, that man next to you is not your father. It's another man. You would laugh. It's ha ha ha. Go on, go on. You'd never change. You know that Brother Bill is your dad. You know that. You can see it in the eyes. You see it in the countenance. You can see it in the manifestations. And Sister Jan as well is in this. You see the characteristics coming out. When you're a part of the Father, the characteristics of the Father will be seen in you. Say, boy, they're like Christ. Now, that's exactly what the Bible says. They perceived the disciples had been with Jesus. Now, brother and sister, if you know your identity and he's living in you, the characteristics will shine from you. Praise the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? You don't have to work it up. I don't have to try to work myself up to look like Red Searle. Lee doesn't have to. I know that. It's just there. But I don't have to work it up. It's there. You know, I think I've told you this. You know, sometimes we've had communion and my sister Judith was there. And we're standing in front of the table and, you know, because I'm tall, I'm 6'1", maybe not as tall as Bill, but I was standing there and the table's quite low really, so to just steady myself, I just put my fingers like that and just put them on the table just to support me. And when I got outside, my sister said to me, she said, Howard, you don't have to try and be like Dad. I said, say again. She said, you're just acting like Dad. I said, am I? What did I do? She said, the way you put your fingers on the table. And I thought about it, that's exactly what he did. But it's just there. I never even thought about it. I never gave it any thought whatsoever. So I just put my fingers there because the attributes of your parents are in you. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, the life of Christ is going to be seen in you. You don't have to practice it. You don't have to work yourself into it. It will shine forth. So let your light shine so that the men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, brother and sister, the reason is because the life's in there. Isn't that wonderful? So just remember that. You know who your Father is naturally. Now, it is possible, let me say this, it is possible that your crazy mind, mine too, to doubt. It doubts, oh, how can this be? How can I be a child of God and all this? And I can show you what you've done wrong, and you did that the other day, and you did this the other day, and your mind can rage, but in your heart there's a peace that he's your Father. That is what it's all about. When he comes into you, you know that peace. Because Satan brings all the failures before you. And that's his job to do, is bring all the failings that you have done before you. Now let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 verse 10. It says this, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ. For, watch carefully everybody, for the accuser of our brethren, that's our brothers and sisters, is cast down, that's Satan,
which accuse them, the believers, before our God day and night. He takes the accusations of your life before God in heaven day and night. He says, look what Dee Dee did yesterday. I want to bring this to you. She failed to do this. Or whoever, Lee or any one of us, I can show you. And he brings the accusations before God. Do you know he's doing that right now? Who believes that? But he's going to be cast down. Now, every time you feel a failure of condemnation, that is Satan accusing you before the Father. The Lord doesn't accuse you. He's not here to judge us. It's Satan that's bringing an accusation. But deep down in the believer's heart, there is a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I've been redeemed with love divine. Amen. Who believes the same in somebody? Amen. We're quiet today. We had a good crew last week, Brother Bill. We had all the married brethren just ones come. I think they may come this afternoon too. They're a good amen corner. I'd like people to respond and say, yes, I believe that. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Talking about our blessed assurance. And what God has started, he will finish in you. God's not going to leave you hanging on the clothesline. He's going to get you in. He's going to iron you. He's going to straighten you up. Now listen to this. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Who's he? The Lord Jesus has begun a good work in you. Will perform it. In other words, he's going to do it right to the end until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to start a job and not finish it. Could you imagine God running his show like that? Imagine if he built the world and all the planet and everything, and he'd done the stars and everything. And said, oh, I forgot the sun. God doesn't do that. He put the sun up there, he put the moon, he put the stars, he put the animals, he put everything, he put us down here, and he's watching over you with a godly jealousy. The Bible says so. He loves you. And he sent the Holy Spirit down to sustain us and to keep us and to give us power. Let's turn to Psalm 138, verse 8. I love this verse. You know, Brother Charles, Smith Wigglesworth said, it's really good. He's got a simple faith. Man, it was used to raise the dead 9 times. But he had a simple faith. He said, when you read the Bible, read it out loud. He says, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I thought that was pretty good. So when you read, just don't have to be shouting it, but you can just read it out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Just say it. It does something to you. That's the word. But he that heareth the word. Now he says here, in Psalm 138 verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me or concerneth you. He's going to perfect it. He's not going to start it and not finish it. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Your salvation is of the Lord. Who knows that? The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. It's something he has instituted. It's something he has begun. He loved you from the beginning, and you are his. You are in his loins before the foundation of the world, and he's not going to lose you. Isn't that wonderful? He sends his Holy Spirit. No one can stand against the Holy Ghost. No enemy can come against the Spirit of the living God. That's why it's so good to be filled with the Spirit and to wait on him. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You may say, oh, I'm a failure. I'm hopeless. I'm never going to get anywhere. God's got his hand on you. There's so many wonderful examples in the Bible I could bring up right now that proves to us that God is in control. And he's the one that's sustaining us and keeping us. So the question we come to is there an evidence? People ask, what is the evidence? What is the proof that we have the Holy Spirit? You know, there are evidences, I believe that, but I want you to note the subtlety of the English language, how clear and defining it is. There are evidences of the Holy Spirit. But there's no single evidence except a personal witness in you. He sends the Spirit and witnesses to you that you are a child of God. That's the only evidence. So forget about people coming up and saying, I think you're a child of God. I think you've got the Holy Spirit. I think this, I've seen it all my life. Oh, this brother, he's a great preacher. He can do this. He's definitely got the Holy Spirit. And then this minute, he's not even walking with God. So the evidence is in your heart. Lord, we're trusting you all the way. Who's trusting him all the way? He'll bring you through and he'll perfect that which concerneth you. There's no single evidence. No man can say, oh, he has the Holy Spirit. Oh, she doesn't. Oh, he has. Can't do it. I've been through that exercise many times. In innocence. And years ago, I used to see people, they look like they're a house on fire. They look like they're so spiritual, made me feel as if I was a heathen. That's the truth. And, you know, years later, sometimes months later, whew, gone. Don't even know where they are. So that was wrong. There's a wrong assumption. And I started to think about, how do I know who has and who hasn't? Then I started looking in the Bible and it says, his Spirit will bear witness with you personally that you are his child. Isn't that wonderful? And that's security by God personally to you. But God sees the heart. We judge from outward appearance, he said to Samuel, I think it was. Don't judge from outward appearances. They brought all the sons of, what's this, Nathan? No, not Nathan. Come. Who? Jesse's sons. It's good that you're on the ball, everybody. Jesse's sons came before him. And they're the big one, you know, handsome one and all these things. And big guy, what's Eliab or what his name was? He was a big fella. Strong power, he'll make a good king. Holy Spirit said, no, I haven't received him. He's not the one. And the prophet was really a little bit confused. Why wouldn't he give this young man, is strong, he's tall and handsome maybe. God said, I refused him. For God seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And brothers and sisters, you cannot judge from outward appearances. You cannot judge what you see on the outside in people's lives. They may look very spiritual. It may look run rings around you, but that doesn't mean that's the way it is. It's very important. People look on at a ministry, as I said before, because they must have the Holy Spirit. They're rolling all over the floor. I'm not going that far, but maybe they're jumping up and down and sweating and, you know, and, you know, makes me tired sometimes. But that doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. You go down to the football match and see people do exactly the same thing. It's not on outward appearances. People get very enthused about things. Maybe because a person has a very outstanding and quiet and sweet spirit. They must have it. Not necessarily. They may have, but they may not. It's not on outward appearances. Now, they are evidences, but it's not the evidence. This is what we're talking about. How do we know? They are evidences. A Holy Ghost-filled person will be a really kind and sweet-natured person. They will be. Maybe they will get excited and jump up and down. They do that sometimes, but that's not an evidence. That can be an evidence. It doesn't mean it is the evidence. See the difference? In all these cases, these people may have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they may not. The thing is, I want to make sure I have it. That's my number one. It's very nice to say Johnny's got it and Mary or somebody, and that's good. We want them to have it, but I want to make sure Howard has it. Oh, Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Who wants the Holy Spirit? You see, brothers and sisters, that simple. If you really want it, you can get it. It's right with you. It's right next to you. And in many cases, people already have it. They don't even know it. They're sweating it out. Oh, maybe I have, maybe I haven't. We spoke on it last week. How do I know I got it? And they run around spending all their time worrying about whether they have the Holy Spirit instead of receiving more of God. Lord, I want more of you every day. Lord, fill me more with thy Spirit. And so we see these things are very, very interesting. Jesus gave us a very clear example of this fact. People, you know, they may be very gifted. Some people are extremely gifted. They have power in their life. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Mind you, a person raises the dead. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? But not necessarily. Let me just read you something Jesus said. Matthew 7:21. He said this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, people just can be full of the Lord and speaking it, but it doesn't mean it's that way. It can be, and many times it is. "But he that doeth the will of my Father," here is the test line. Are we willing to do as he's told us? And then he says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" And it was of God. "And in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And then I'll profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know, brother and sister, I would, in a sense, like say like this. I'd rather have no gifts, not be gifted in any way, and just be really in love with the Lord and to obey his word on a day-to-day basis. Just do what he's told me to do. So Jesus brought a very clear example here that we're going to be very careful, because we have gifts that is no evidence. It's not the evidence, sorry, that we have the Holy Spirit. It's maybe a evidences. You see what I'm saying? It's not a concise evidence you have that, but people with the Holy Spirit do that as well. They are nice people. They are people that look really spiritual. They are as well. So that's the confusing part. But as we said to it, don't worry about what others do. Make sure you're right. That's the key. So Christ had never come into them. Sure, they were anointed with gifts, but they were never filled with the Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Christ coming in and dwelling in you takes up residence. He comes in. He doesn't come in for a cup of tea. He brings his bags. He gets a room, and he takes up residence. He's staying, and he's never leaving. So when he comes into you, he's there for good. He'll perfect those things concerning us. The Bible speaks about the anointed ones at the end time. Truly anointed, but never made one with him. They're never in love with him. This is a major subject. I'm telling you, I'm skipping it over like you won't believe. It takes a love affair with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. In Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good,
and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Now, Brother Brennan was very confused. As a young man who went into the Pentecostal churches and he saw them and his eyes bulged out and said, wow, God is here. And God was there. He saw one person get up and speak in tongues like you wouldn't believe. The other person got up and prophesied under such an anointing, and it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Brennan, with his little gift God had given him, he went up outside the meeting. He shook hands with the person, the one that spoke in tongues. He said, a real believer. Then he went to the person, I'm not sure which order it was, doesn't matter, that brought the interpretation to the tongues message. Shook hands with them. He said, the biggest hypocrite you've ever seen. The Holy Spirit showed him like that. He saw a vision of living with another man's wife. So we cannot go on outward appearances. It's got to be an inward work of the Spirit of God. So these things are really important to get rooted in our hearts. There's people out there by the thousands who are caught up in all this stuff. You know, I just heard a man speaking today, actually, said to me, you know, he's been out amongst the Pentecostal churches, and I'm not against Pentecostal churches. Better to have no churches at all. But he said they're just so confused and they accept anything. They've got no understanding. It's just all shouting and jumping and clapping and anything goes. You see? So, brother and sister, may God help us to stay pure and clean with Him and do what His Word says for us to do. Maybe the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is if they have a real revelation of the Word. Now, people jump at that and say, oh, yes, now he's getting hot. Now he's on to it. I have a revelation of the Word of the owl, something like that. No, not according to God's Word. That's not the case. Sorry, we must get back to the absolute and see what it says. We're going to read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, here it is there again, speaking in tongues, it can be of God, and have not love or charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. No love there. This is what I'm saying. It gets back to a love relationship with your Lord. And though I have the gift of prophecy, my, and understand all mysteries, not some of them, all mysteries of the Word, and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. You see, brother and sister, it's so important to have the love of God in your hearts. You know, people say, oh, I want this gift, I want that gift, I want God to use me. Is there any love in your heart, the little old lady down the road? Ask yourself these questions. The nobodies, do you love them just the same? Do you have a compassion for them? See, God is love. It's not God loves. He is love. So if you've got Him, you've got love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God in him or God in her. That's how you know he's there. Because you love him. You know what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the test. Not only that, the world will know too. You know what the Bible says? John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have a revelation of the seven seals. Is that what it says on your one? Oh, no, it's a different Bible. Not that you have a revelation of the seven seals or a great mystery. They'll know if you have love one to another. So see how God sees things so differently. Some believe love and fruits of the Spirit is the evidence. The evidence. No, it's just a evidence. You can't get away from his Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're his child. Jesus said so. It's very clear. But there is a different types of love with human love. And that's another thing people get messed up on. Human love. Some people will die for other people because they love them so much. That doesn't put them in heaven. We're going to have a love for God. A love for him. You know the story Brother Branham tells about the kind old priest. He put everyone to shame. Put Jesus to shame. Because the kind old priest said, "Oh, my beloved child. His robes are all on. My beloved child. Come to Father, so-and-so." And Jesus, he got a whip and he started bashing and everyone, knocking everyone out. "Get these things out of here, these pigeons and everything. Get them out of my house." And he was pretty rough on some of the things he said. Called them snake in the grass and everything else. But it was God. You can't go on outward appearances. Whether it's love or it looks like something else. I'll read you something Brother Branham said on this. "Is there any here that hasn't received the baptism of the Spirit?" He asked the question, "yet." Now you say, "Brother Branham, I tell you, I shouted one time." He said, "That's very good." "I spoke in tongues once." "That's very good too," he says. "But still, that ain't what I'm talking about. Now, how can you shout and speak with tongues and deny the word? God's told you not to do it, you still do it. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing his word, always being, every age, if you can receive the word. Those priests had Jesus beat a million times, miles, when it come to the fruits of the Spirit, gentle, peaceful, and meek and lowly. But he, Jesus, tore up the churches, kicked them over, tore the people out, called them snakes in the grass and everything. But he was that word. He was that word. That's it. Believe God. God is the word. Believe it." As Brother Ram said, "I believe a Holy Ghost filled believer will always believe the word." Always believe the word. It's really wonderful. I'm reading a really good message. If you want to hear it, Brother Branham's very good message. I said to my wife, it's really the backbone to the message, really. The spoken word is the original seed. Comes in two volumes, two very long sermons, about 5 hours, in written parts. But what he's saying, so what God has said, is the truth. We cannot change it, we cannot alter it. Just say what he said and God will stand with you. The Spirit will be right there to vindicate it in your life. But if you ask every person that's going to church, "Do you believe the word?" Especially in the message, as we would say. "Do you believe the word?" "Yes, sir, I believe the word." I've heard people say it, made chills go down my spine. Because it doesn't sound right. "I believe the word." Okay. Let me say this. It takes more than just saying, "I believe it." I'm believing. The Bible says the devils believe the word too. And tremble. They believe there's one God and tremble. The Bible says so. They sure do. And they're afraid of it. It takes more than believing it. It takes obedience. That's the difference. To walk in the light
We've got one more quote here from the token message. Brother Brand preached on the token. You can listen to it. He'll tell you the token today is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that got him out of Egypt. Apply it, church. Don't fail. Will you not? Don't let the sun set. Don't. Rest day or night, he says. Don't take no chance. It won't work, children. It won't work. You must have the token. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you must be born again. That's the same thing. You must have the token, he says. You say, well, I believe. Yes, yeah, I believe the message, he says. That's all right. That's good. But he says, but you must have the token. He didn't put any emphasis on that at all. You must have the token. You hear Branham Tabernacle, you must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. You live a good life. You listen to what the Word says, he says. You go to church. You try to live right. That's fine. But that's not it. Don't just come this far and say, I believe the message. He says, you obey the message. Come into Christ. You say, I believe every word you said, Brother Branham. He said, that's good. But that's just being able to read. Take the message, take it into your heart that you must have the token, the very life that was in Christ to be in you. There it is. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is his life coming into you and you loving him and knowing that he is your Father. And he's watching over you and you're just, it's a love affair. Brother and sister, it's not a legal thing. If you do this and you do that and you have your dress this long or something like that. Those things may be all right, but that's not what we're talking about, he says. It will be a definite experience, not just saying, I believe. The baptism is a real supernatural experience in which the fruits follow. No man or woman can come into the presence of God and not be normal. You can't go in the presence of God and just be yourself. It'll have an effect on you. Isaiah the prophet said, woe is me, for I am undone. The prophet. When he came into the temple, the Lord was high and lifted up, and his train filled every corner of the room. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. That's the effects it has on you. It brings you right down humble before the Lord. And God touched him and anointed him, sent him out. Brother Rand says, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having an experience when it happens. Now, if you believe every speck of the word you say you believe every speck of it. Then he says, the word's laying there, waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work. But it takes the lighting of the candle. So you can have the candle, you can have the wax, you have the wick, and all those things. And that's really wonderful, but it needs to be lit. Do not look for evidences. So we bring this to a close. Do not look for evidences. You'll only be disillusioned and confused. What do we look for? We look for Christ. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. This experience is based upon the love of God and his word. If you have the Holy Ghost, you will receive every message God sends us. If God sends a message to the church and we are filled with the Spirit, you will receive whom God has sent. You will love one another. You'll have respect for one another. Your life, without you knowing it, will have a sweetness around you. People ask me, how do I get the Holy Ghost?
And they're probably expecting from me some highfalutin answer. And I always tell them the same thing. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Just fall in love with Him and His Word. Walk in the light of His Word. That means to obey it. And God will do the rest of it. Who loves Him this morning?
I do.
Brother and sister, it's all here. It's so simple. The devil makes it so complicated, but it's not. It's being in love with Him. Man falls in love with a young lady. They go out. He doesn't say, now, what am I going to do? Oh, she says, what am I going to do? Do I have to do something? Or, it's nonsense. If you're in love, you'll do that which is right. It's the same with God. If you love Him, you'll walk according to His Word because you want to please Him. So the evidence is His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a beautiful word? This is how we know. His Spirit bears witness that He's in us, that we are part of Him. So uncomplicated. No one else can see it. Only you can see it. But it'll be manifested in your life in many ways. And I say to people, they say, well, I'm not sure. Well, I say, well, just get more of Him. Get more of God. That's what we need to do. Get more of the Holy Spirit. So how do I know? Just get more of it. Don't get snagged on have I not, when do I, or just say, Lord, I want more of You. Who wants more of Him? Just stand to your feet now. Say, Lord, I want more of You this morning. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to see in Thy Word that it's a simple thing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Satan tries to make it complex and difficult. But Lord, we just want to be in love with You. We want to be in love with Your Word, and we want to obey Your Word and do that which You revealed to us personally what we should be doing. Lord, I commit this to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may You bless each one here. Bless those that are listening, wherever they may be, Lord. May they be encouraged to reach out to Thee and get down on their knees and say, Lord, I don't want to get complex. I'm not going to sweat over this anymore. I'm just going to trust You. And I'm going to believe You that You promised to those that ask shall be given the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You said, if You know how to give good gifts to Your children that ask, how much more shall Your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So, Lord, I just pray You'll bless each person here. Make us all ready for Your coming, Lord. We commit this to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What's the song we're singing? As I Walk the Narrow Way, is it? I'm rejoicing night and day as we walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. That's the Holy Ghost. He abides. Prayer to come forward as we continue to sing. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard our Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing.
us talk to the Lord. Jesus, it's true what the chorus says, He abides. And we know, Lord, that if we abide in You, You are abiding in us. So we're very grateful for that, Lord, because You know us so well. We go and condemn ourselves, but You don't. You just come closer and You touch us and You make us realize that all we need to do is abide with You. Help us to do that, Lord. It's not hard. Your ways are so easy to understand. And especially when You dwell within us, it's very good for us to receive. Just be with us, Lord, as we go to a lunch at this time, Lord, and fellowship with the brethren. And we just thank You for it, Lord. We just bless the food to us. Bless the hands that prepared it. Be with the folks that joined us, Lord, on the internets and CD at their time of listening. We lift them up. Bless those that weren't able to make it today and bring them back safely. Be with Brother Tass Collier this afternoon, Lord, as he brings the word and our time of communion at the same time. We ask, Lord, that You will bless us because we want to do what You want us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.